We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Get into part two of today's show. Part two of today's show is really interesting because we are seeing Notre Dame's depth chart be very tested this spring at a lot of positions, especially on offense. And it's being tested for multiple reasons. And they mean different things. And we have seen more little bumps and bruises from offensive players this spring. We've seen some guys that came into spring with some injuries, obviously, that were already there, which is kind of part of the process. But we've seen some new injuries emerge. And we'll talk about some of the things we've seen on defense as well, because there are some things in the defense. But it's forcing the depth to really be tested. And then there's another way where depth can be tested, which is, do you have guys that really step up and show themselves to be, hey, I'm ready to push you? So there's two different ways that depth can have an impact, positively or negatively. One is the negative is you don't have enough guys to put a team out there if you have some injuries. And then number two, where depth can be an issue, is you don't have enough good players pushing older players. So there's not that same level of I'm trying to think of the right word that I want to use here. There's just a greater sense of urgency with players. When you know the guy behind you is a way, way, way not as good as you, like way behind you, either in development or talent or whatever the case may be, naturally with young people, and I'm speaking from experience as a player and speaking from experience as a coach, sometimes with some younger players, there can be a little bit of complacency that sets in. Not that you're not working hard, but you just don't have that same, you know, that same urgency where, you know, I can't take today off, because if I take today off, or if I don't bring it today, this young kid behind me is going to go off and I'm going to find myself fighting for a job, or not even fighting for a job on the bench. And that's a great place to be. And so you want that. You don't want to just have guys that kind of just know they're the guy because they're so much better than everybody else behind them. And so you're seeing a little bit of that this spring as well. And we'll dive into that. One position especially.
Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard it. 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It is so easy to use. All you have to do is download the app in the App Store or Google Play Store, sign up, add some funds, and you're in. Then you just find your favorite player and decide more or less on the suggested stat. It really is that easy. The night I joined, I picked Hannah Hidalgo to have more than 14 points, Maddie Westbeld to have less than 10 rebounds, and Marcus Burton to have more than 18 points. And guess what? I hit on all three. Bing, bang, boom, baby. Money in my pocket. It was just that easy. Download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
But I want to begin with just some of the areas where Notre Dame is being tested from a depth standpoint this year, this spring, and what it means. And some of the good and the bad. And we'll begin with quarterback. Obviously, this is a position that's a spotlight for a lot of people, and it's a position we all care about. It's also a position that's incredibly important for Notre Dame and their future. Notre Dame, I was watching, they did this, the ACC Network has this weird number one series where they'll go back and like look at past national champions. They had one on the 90 Georgia Tech team, and they had one on the 99 Florida State team. Well, they had one recently on the 81 Clemson team, which I thought was really good. And you just, you're kind of watching it, and they were kind of talking. I kind of lost my thought on that one, but this is what it was. They said they were talking about Homer Jordan was the quarterback at Clemson at the time. And they basically said, like, look, you can't win a championship without a dynamic quarterback. And just kind of made me chuckle because I'm like, how many times have we said that at Notre Dame? And how a big reason why that 81 Clemson team was so good that year was because of their quarterback, Homer Jordan. And I didn't even remember Homer Jordan. I was 3 years old when Clemson won that championship. So I don't remember Homer Jordan. The only guys I really remember from that team is I remember Terry Kinnard And I remember Refrigerator Perry, right? I remember him. And I think his brother Michael Dean was also on that team, I believe. And obviously he played for the Broncos. So those are the only guys I really remember from that team. I don't remember their running back. I didn't remember their quarterback. I barely remember Danny Ford as their head coach because I was three. And when I say remember, it's more about, you know, when I was older, I'd look back on those teams. So I didn't know a lot of those guys. So it was really cool to watch that. If you see it on TV, check it out. But, you know, look, that's true for Notre Dame. But the concern and the problem is you don't know who that – if they have that kind of guy. And if they do have that guy, let's say it is Riley Leonard and you have that guy, that's great. But what if Riley Leonard gets hurt? Or what if Riley Leonard is not that guy? What you can see happen is when the first guy either A, doesn't pan out, or B, gets hurt, sometimes it's both, C, both, all of the above, then you're in a situation where your team cannot meet expectations because you don't have the depth of talent at quarterback to be successful. Notre Dame has four scholarship quarterbacks. I'm not concerned about numbers. If Notre Dame has three scholarship quarterbacks, I'm not concerned about numbers. Numbers only become a problem if you get down to two. But what I'm concerned about is the depth of talent at Notre Dame. And it's rare. I think 2022 was one of the few years where I was actually worried about the numbers at quarterback. Well, I don't know if they have enough numbers to get through a practice, to get through a season. You had, once Tyler Buchner got hurt, you had basically what? You had Drew Pine and Steve Angeli. That was it. You didn't really have anybody else. That's a problematic number standpoint, and you're young, and you wonder, like, do you have the talent to even win there? So it's been rare that it's been both, but it does happen from time to time. More so, the issue has been if this guy gets hurt or doesn't pan out or isn't as good as we hope, they're in trouble because they don't have anybody to turn to. With this team, we're learning more and more about that depth part. Like, look, we know who Riley Leonard is. And if you don't know who Riley Leonard is, watch more film. I mean, seriously, just go. And don't just pick and choose a game here and there. Go watch a lot of his games. There's a thread on the message board at Irish Breakdown where I put up like eight or nine of his games from the last 2 years, and you can go watch them. You know, watch the games where he didn't play well. Watch the games where he did play very well. Watch the games where maybe his numbers weren't good, but you're like, man, that offense looked pretty good. And then you watch him there, like, well, he'd put up great numbers against Clemson, but the only reason they beat Clemson is because of his playmaking ability. And then you can see how he impacts the entire defense. So look, if you know ball and you've seen enough of him, you know who Riley Leonard is. And that's both the good and the bad. You know what his strengths are. You know how dynamic he is. You know the playmaker he is. You know what he can do with his arm. You know what he can do with his legs. You know all those things. But you also know the areas where he's, you know, you're not going to ask him to go be this guy. You're not going to go ask him to be a 79% passer. That's not his game. Is he inaccurate? No, he's not inaccurate. Is he a precision Drew Brees type passer? No, he's not that either. And so you know the positives and you know the concerns, or not the concerns, but the areas where he's not quite as good. You know who he is. And I've said this before. If he simply plays exactly the same way in 2024 that he played in his 1 year as a starter at Duke in 2022, I'm not talking production-wise because the production will be impacted by what's around him. But if he just plays that way, make the throws you made in 2022. Do what you did in 2022 with your legs. This is going to be a special offense, because he's going to have so much better talent around him to support him. Way better talent at running back, with all due respect to the Duke kids. Way better talent at receiver and tight end. And all the offensive line isn't as experienced as the one that he had at Duke his last couple of years. It's a lot more talented. And, I mean, his top pass catcher the last 2 years at Duke, I've said this before, was the kid who he beat out the previous spring of 2022 for the starting quarterback job. The backup quarterback, the guy that got beat out of quarterback, goes to receiver and leads him in receptions the next 2 years. That's what he was working with there. At Notre Dame, it's obviously a different sort. So we know who Riley Leonard is. The disappointing thing this spring for him has been he's missing a lot of the team reps. Now, there are things they're doing to make sure he's still throwing the ball, he's still working on timing and getting that kind of stuff going. But there's a lot of team reps that he's just not getting. There's nothing you can do about that. You can hope you can get a make up in the summer and in the fall. So, you know, that's a concern. However, that's the negative. There is no, but this is a good thing for Notre Dame. Yes and no. The best thing for Notre Dame is that Riley Leonard is healthy and not needing follow-up procedures and all this other kind of stuff. And he can just go out there and practice. That's the best thing for Notre Dame. So anyone's just telling you, no, it's better for Notre Dame that Riley Leonard's out or whatever. Like, oh, not really. You know, it'd be better if he was healthy and developing, but he's not. So it's not so much that it's better. It's about, okay, well, Well, what are you going to get out of it? What are you going to make of it? What are you going to say? Hey, look, this is the hands that were dealt, so let's make the most of it. And that is where Notre Dame is right now, quarterback, and that is because we are seeing a lot more reps for Steve Angeli. We're seeing a lot more reps for Kenny Minchie and CJ Carr, and those guys are going to be pushed in ways that maybe they weren't, especially with Kenny and CJ, if Riley was healthy. And what we're seeing is like, look, we don't know from what we have seen where Kenny is from a, you know, running the offense standpoint, or where CJ is from running the offense standpoint. We kind of know where Steve is to a degree. I would still contend that starting the Sun Bowl after a month of work does not indicate how you will play in a game at Texas A&M or a game at home against Florida State when you have a week to prepare. So there's still a lot of uncertainty, even with Steve, a guy that we've seen. And that's always true of a guy that you've never really seen a play a lot before. And some guys are fine. I mean, CJ Stroud took over in 2022, having not, I don't think he attempted a single pass in 2021, I believe. Or was it, no, he took over in 2021, having not thrown, I believe, a single pass in 2020. So some guys are fine, but it's still a question mark until you see it. And so what we're seeing from these guys is limited because we haven't seen them run the offense. But here's what we have seen, and I talked about this earlier in the show. The arm talent in that room is as good as it's been at Notre Dame since probably early 2014. Just God-given natural ability. And you could argue it might be better because it's got one more. In 2014, the quarterback room with Everett Golson, Malik Zaire, and DeShone Kizer was really impressive. I mean, it was incredibly impressive because now DeShone was a freshman and Malik was still unproven. He had to start that one start against LSU. Malik threw less than 100 yards in that game, right? So we still didn't know what kind of thrower could Malik be. And we didn't know what DeShone could be. But if you just look at him and just pure God-given arm talent, it was impressive. I mean, Everett Golson's throws the ball as well as any quarterback at Notre Dame that I've seen in person. The only other one that throws it a little better than him was Jimmy Clausen. That's it. I mean, nobody throws. I mean, Everett and Malik will tell you that. Other guys on the team will tell you that. Everett could just spin it beautifully. His arm talent was amazing. DeShone had a lot of arm talent. You know, big kid, big strong right arm. You know, could power the ball in different places. Threw a great deep ball. And then, of course, Malik might have had the strongest arm I've seen since Tony Rice. I mean, he has an absolute bazooka, you know, connected to his left shoulder. And so there was a lot of different arm talent that was, you know, that was on that roster. Well, this year you don't have quite the power that group had. You know, Everett had a cannon, Malik had a bazooka, DeShone had a really strong arm. But what you have now is not quite that same power that group had, but arm talent that's impressive nonetheless in different ways. Arm speed, ball placement is much better than that 2014 group was. You know, Malik was still learning. I think 2014 was Malik's second year at Notre Dame, and DeShone was a true freshman. So it'd be like if it was just Riley, Kenny, and CJ, right? Like they're still young and learning, but these kids are so much more advanced technically than that group was. Malik was running an option offense in high school. DeShone was a more of a traditional offense, but even him, he didn't have to necessarily carry the team the way that CJ had to or the way that Kenny had to in high school. But the arm talent is really outstanding. And the guy that I've been the most critical of, and rightfully so, is having the least amount of arm talent is Steve Angeli, still has really good arm talent. I'll say it again. Notre Dame can win 10 games next year with Steve Angeli quarterback, maybe more. My question has always been, but that's not the standard. The standard is, can you win a championship? Notre Dame proved they could go 12-0 in the regular season with Ian Book as starting quarterback. Okay, great. They proved also that they couldn't win anything in the postseason with Ian Book a quarterback. That's just the reality of it. So is Steve a guy that can win that next level? That's debatable. But what you're seeing from Steve, even him, and I use him because I've said before, he's at the kind of the bottom of my list of arm talent, is you're still seeing a kid that has a lot of moxie, a lot of savviness, a lot of, you know, really good football IQ, and a guy that can spin the ball pretty well. He doesn't have a ton of experience. I don't think he's yet to throw for 3,000 yards in his entire life in high school and college combined. He's right around there because was less than 1,000 as a junior, threw for like 1,700 as a senior, and then threw for like, what, 5-something last year. So he's still learning, but it's good arm talent. And I feel a lot better right now about the ability of Steve Angeli to go into a game and have to throw the ball 30 times than I did when Drew Pine was on the field in 2022. That's just the reality of it. You know, there was what was in 2020. It was Brandon Clark. So if something happened to Drew Pine, if something happened to Ian Book in 2020, who were you turning to? Brandon Clark or true freshman Drew Pine? That's a problem. In 2021, you had Jack Cohn, redshirt freshman Drew Pine, and true freshman Tyler Buckner. But Tyler Buckner hadn't played football in a couple years. You know, and Tyler Buckner was a guy that was at that time more of a runner than he was a thrower. So it was problematic. And 2022, if Tyler Buckner gets hurt or doesn't pan out, there's a pretty big drop off on your with that next guy as far as someone that's good enough to take you to the next level. We said about Drew Pine back then, Drew Pine can win you 10 games. And if Drew Pine would have been Notre Dame starting quarterback that entire year, at worst, they're 9-3, in my opinion, because I think Drew probably would have given you a little bit better chance to beat Marshall. I still say Tyler being used properly would have helped them win that game a little bit more, but it's a different conversation for a different day. Drew would have fit the game plan they were using that game a little bit better. But it was a big drop-off after the number one guy. And the number one guy was a player in Tyler Buckner that still had major concerns as a thrower. He had major concerns from a health standpoint. Now you look at this room and you're saying, right now, based on what we saw today, it's Riley Leonard would be the projected starter, then Steve Angeli, then Kenny Minchie, then C.J. Carr. Having a guy like C.J. Carr, or if you flip those two, and it's Kenny Minchie, or if you flip all of them and it's Steve Angeli at number four, the arm talent you have in your 2, 3, 4 spots is as good as it's been in a very, very long time. And I know that Brian and Ryan talked about this a little bit yesterday. But the benefit of Riley Leonard being out, and again, it's not what you'd prefer, is that these guys are getting a ton more reps. And we're now seeing it, and they're being pushed. They're being stressed. They're saying, hey, you may not have thought you were battling for the starting job this year, but now you are.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great, too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When you look at receiver, you know, we were having a discussion on the board last week. Somebody had asked, I think it was this weekend, somebody asked, does Notre Dame have too many receivers? Which I thought was an interesting question to ask, especially when you consider the lack of the problems they've had with depth. But when the poster clarified it, the point he was making was, do they have too many good receivers, you know, meaning, you know, there are too many mouths to feed? And that's a more fair question. I think that is a more fair question. I would say my answer still be no, but I understand the point that he was making. However, today, you're seeing an example of why it's important to have that kind of numbers, because you don't have Jaden Thomas, you don't have Jaden Harrison, you don't have Jordan Faison. Now, one of those guys because he's playing lacrosse, which won't be an issue in the fall. But the other two are injuries. And Jaden Thomas has had a hard time staying on the field at Notre Dame. It's just a fact. And Deion Colsey has had a hard time staying healthy at Notre Dame. And so you're looking at some of these guys and you're saying Bo Collins has had some injury history as well, Clemson. So you're looking at it saying this is why you need the depth that you need. You have. Because you don't know. Because there's with receivers, there's so many different things that a receiver can get hit hurt by. Concussions are not as high as they used to be, but still a part of playing receiver. It's not like it used to be because you can't get smashed over the middle as much as you can. Guys come down and go up and catch a high ball, come down, hit their head, they get banged up. The soft tissue injuries are much more prominent receiver, in my opinion, than they are an offensive line. And maybe they happen the same amount, but a receiver, they can keep you out, where offensive line maybe can, you know, play through it. And so what you're seeing is a day like today where in your two deep, you have two freshmen in your two deep today because where you are with numbers, because you don't have Bo Collins, you don't have Jordan Faison, you don't have Logan Saldate, who weren't like really technically part of the team today because Jordan's, you know, playing lacrosse. He was out there, I believe, and going through warmups, but he's not going through drills. He's not participating in practice. Bo Collins can't go through it. And then you don't have Jaden Thomas and you don't have Jaden Harrison. So now all of a sudden you're missing. So if they have, what is 11? So you have Chris Mitchell, Jaden Harrison, the two veteran, Bo Collins, two transfers. Then you have Jaden Thomas, Deion Colsey. That's five. And then you have the three sophomores, right? So you'd have Jaden Greathouse, KK Smith, and Jordan Faison. And then the three freshmen, Cam Williams, Micah Gilbert, and Logan Saldate. Well, today you're down five of those guys. Jordan Faison's playing lacrosse. Bo Collins can't practice. Jaden Thomas is not, for whatever reason. I want to say injured, but I feel that's irresponsible because I haven't been told he's injured and I haven't heard it back from anybody about him being injured. So he's just not practicing. Like he's going through stretch and individual. That's it. We don't see him anything else. And today you didn't have Jaden Harrison available. Now all of a sudden, Micah Gilbert's with the ones and Cam Williams is with the twos. KK Smith has to move inside, and all of a sudden things are in flux. And you're seeing this at tight end as well with no Mitchell Evans. And what it has done is it shows you why it's so important that that you have the depth. You say, well, you have too many players. Well, this is exactly why you need that many playmakers, not just bodies, but guys that can play. Because with as many guys that have had the injury history as we've seen, you can't be in a position where you got one really, really good player, but if he goes down, you know, what happens? I mean, think about this. What happens if Will Fuller gets hurt in 2015 early in the year and misses like six, seven games? Completely changes that football team because you didn't have any other guys like that. Now, that's an extreme example, but we've seen it in recent years. Boy, I tell you what, if Kevin Austin doesn't step up in 2021, this receiving corps is going to be in trouble. And when Kevin Austin played well, Notre Dame's pass offense was really scary. When Kevin Austin didn't play well, Notre Dame's pass offense really struggled. It was determined by one guy. In 2022, if Lorenzo Styles doesn't break out and have that sophomore surge in year two in 2022, the receiving corps is going to struggle. He didn't step up. He didn't have that surge for whatever reason. I'm not trying to get into why, but it just that's the reality of it. And the pass game struggled. This year, the nice thing is what we're learning about this receiving corps is with the guys out, we're seeing more and more guys be forced into situations where they have to step up and play. And so far, it's been really impressive to see that they've done that. So with certain guys out, you're seeing a lot more of KK Smith running with twos this spring, and he looks good doing it. With certain guys out, you know, with Jaden Thomas being banged up, with Bo Collins not being part of the team yet, that's forced Micah Gilbert to have to play. Now, the good news is Micah Gilbert's answered the bell. You know, with Jordan Faison playing lacrosse, look, this notion that with Jordan Faison playing lacrosse, that's allowed Jaden Greathouse to emerge as the starter, I don't think that's accurate because I think if Jaden Greathouse doesn't get hurt and if other players don't get hurt, which force him away from the slot, Jaden Greathouse is your starting slot. Jordan Faison took over when Jaden had to move somewhere else. The expectation from what I knew and from what I had been told was always that Jaden Greathouse was going to be a starter for you at Notre Dame this year. So I don't think that's fair to say Jordan has, you know, hurt himself by playing lacrosse. I don't think that's fair. Jaden Greathouse was going to be the starter. Jordan's going to play a bunch, no matter who's the first guy on the field. But what it has done is with so many new players, with Jaden Thomas being a little bit banged up for most of the spring, with no Jordan Faison, now you say, okay, Greathouse, we need you to be that dude. He has to be that dude. And so far this spring, he has been that dude. K.K. Smith being thrust into extra reps because there's no Jordan Faison, and now because Jane Harrison is out, and you know Cam Williams is still learning, and so now we've seen more of K.K. Smith. Guess what K.K. Smith is doing? He's a baller, right? He's out there making plays. And so it is very encouraging for me. At tight ends, the same thing. No Mitchell Evans this spring. So guess who's had a breakout spring for Notre Dame so far? Eli Raritan's been limited. Mitchell Evans is out. Cooper Flanagan is thrust into the lineup. And what has Cooper done this spring? So far, from everything I've seen and heard, he's out there making a ton of plays. And so you've seen that happen at those two positions. And then at running back as well. You know, we've seen Kedron Young banged up a lot. I don't know what's going on with Jabron Payne. I don't know if he's out there. He's at practice. We see him go through drills, but then they go through the first, second, and third team, and Jabron's not in there. I don't know if there's an injury. I don't know what the situation is, but the fact is that you are missing out on two really talented running backs. And so what happens? Aeneas Williams steps into that number three role, and he looks good. And so what you're seeing is you're, this spring, because the depth is being tested, we're learning two things about Notre Dame. Number one is that they have a lot of quality depth. That's a big thing. A lot of quality depth at very important positions: quarterback, running back, receiver, tight end. You're seeing that happen a lot on offense. Very, very deep offensive football team. But what you're also seeing, in my opinion, this spring is how good the coaching is for this offensive staff at the skill positions, because you're watching three quarterbacks take reps and you're like, dude, they have starting caliber play going on right now without their starter being out there. Technically speaking, I mean, like I said today, when you're out there and your receivers are throwing and it's on time and it's accurate, now, yes, they have arm talent, but this is also a group that's clearly been prepared. I talk about CJ Carr going out there and just being comfortable, and part of that's on CJ being smart and putting in the work, but the other part of that is you can't ignore the fact that you have to give credit to Gino Guidulli for helping to get these kids prepared for what they're about to go do. And same thing with running back. Yeah, you've got Jeremiah Love and Jadarian Price, but you know, where's Jabron Payne at? Where's Kedron Young? Those guys are banged up, I think. I know Kedron is because Marcus Freeman's talked about it. I don't know what's going on with Jabron Payne. Maybe they're just hiding him and they don't want the media to see him for some reason. I don't know. Maybe, you know, maybe he's only a nickel running back. I have no clue why he's not getting a lot of reps, but I've yet to see Jabron Payne take a rep in any kind of team fashion. And today was another example. And when you can have two guys like that out and you're able to put in a kid like Aeneas Williams as your number three, and you're like, that kid's really good. It speaks volumes about not only the depth of talent, but it also speaks volumes about the preparation. And that's something I'm very encouraged by. And offensive line, we're seeing the depth really thrive this spring as well. People have asked, why are you only taking three offensive linemen in the 2025 class? Like, well, because they have a lot of young linemen that are talented on the roster now. And you're seeing that happen. You're seeing veteran players that were ranked kind of high coming out, kind of getting passed up by younger players. You know, you're seeing, you know, maybe we're not as comfortable with that number two center job. Or maybe you've got a guy like Sam Pendleton who maybe they are comfortable with Joe Otting right now. And I've heard good things about Joe Otting. But maybe it's a situation where, boy, we love Sam Pendleton. We got to find a way to get this kid into the two deep. But right now with Billy Shrouth and with Pat Coogan and with Rocco Spindler, maybe there's just not that space for him. So, hey, let's have this kid play some center. Well, you're seeing with the offensive line as well that, look, dude, you know, this, you've got some deep talent there to work with, especially inside. So you've got a lot of different things that you can do and a lot of things you've gotten you can work at. So I'm very, very happy to see that. And that's a place where the depth has been a positive this spring, where it's resulting in pushing. Guys are being pushed this spring in ways like maybe we wouldn't have seen in the past. And so offensively, what you've learned about this football team this spring is that the depth that we hoped that they had has already been tested and has been shown. And it has not been shown wanting, in my opinion. It is shown to be this guy goes down, next guy goes balls out, and he's making plays. This guy goes down, so this guy steps up and he balls out. This guy's playing lacrosse, so this guy comes in and balls out. That's a great place to be. And that's what Notre Dame has shown themselves to be at this spring. Your starting quarterback can be out most of the spring. And so what do? You have other guys step in and take their chance. Heck, there was a day that we saw where Steve and Riley were both out, and it was just Kenny and CJ. And you're like, well, this isn't numbers-wise where you want to be. But, dude, you're down to your third and fourth quarterback, and those dudes are flat out spending it. And that's a fun place to be. And it's good that Notre Dame is there. Now, on the flip side, cornerback is a little bit more troubling for me. This is a position where we've seen the depth get tested, and it has been found wanting from a couple different aspects. Number one is it's really been recruited as a two-position place so far, meaning like Notre Dame has basically recruited the safety or the receiver position like a three-position depth. And what that means is, depending on how many players you're going to play regularly, is going to determine how many players you recruit. So if you're a three-position group, then you're going to recruit higher numbers. We've talked about this as a linebacker. They don't have to use linebacker. They don't have to recruit as many linebackers now because they used to, where you needed at least 9, usually 10, 11, because it's a three-linebacker defense. Now it's a two-linebacker defense that will basically have a split on that third spot between a linebacker and a defensive back. So you don't need 11, 10, 11, 12 linebackers. You can get away with 8. You can have 9 be your max. And same thing with other positions. Well, cornerback is a position that is starting to become more of a 3-position alignment, but you don't have 3-position depth yet. And that's for a bunch of reasons. Now, obviously, you had some departures this offseason. Cam Hart, he's gone. You have Ryan Barnes, he left. He's in the portal. You had Clarence Lewis left during the spring. He's in the portal. And now you also have Benjamin Morrison, who's out. And so now you've lost 4 corners, and you have 2 kids that you recruited to play corner that aren't in school yet, in Carson Hobbs and Leonard Moore. They're not enrolled yet. They won't be here till the summer. So very, very quickly, the cornerback depth is a problem. And now you've got Christian Gray, Jaden Mickey, and Chance Tucker, and that's it, because you've got Micah Bell working the slot. You could move Micah Bell outside, but I think that would be unwise, because for me, I think Micah Bell needs all the reps he can get inside at slot, especially from a physicality standpoint. So that's one where it's a little bit problematic, and now you understand why Notre Dame is looking for such a big corner class in 25. Now you know why they're willing to go to 4 corners, because number one, you've got to restock the 2 outside positions, but you also need to start stocking that slot position more with corners. Because my understanding and my belief is that Notre Dame would like to start having more corner types in the slot as opposed to safety types, because they want guys who can cover at a higher level. And the Ohio State game showed that. As good as Thomas Harper was last year, he was still a safety playing nickel. And Notre Dame needs more of a cover player at that spot. And so you're seeing how, okay, now the numbers are here. You've got to really step up. And with Benjamin Morrison being what he is, if he's healthy in the fall, you're probably going to lose him too. And now you're looking at a situation where you're going into 2025 with Christian Gray, Jaden Mickey, Micah Bell for 3 spots. And after that, it's guys that aren't on campus right now. Maybe they could bring Chance Tucker back for a 5th year. I would be opposed to that if you can make room for it. Let that kid get a master's degree, and hopefully – and that only happens – the only reason you'd bring Chance back for a 5th year is he goes out this fall, takes advantage of Cam being gone and Clarence being gone and other guys being down, and he steps up and plays well this spring. I hope that happens, because then you can more easily justify bringing him back in 2025, where he's going to play more because he showed himself out. If he doesn't, then you won't bring him back. So then you're stuck in a situation where it's – 3 of those 3 guys, and then after that, it's a depth chart full of guys that aren't on campus right now. You'll have Carson Hobbs and Leonard Moore, who will have gone through a season, but next year, when we're talking about this cornerback position, there's a chance that you're going into to those situations because you're playing freshmen because you don't have anybody else, or sophomores, you don't have anybody else, because if one guy goes down. Think about this. If Chance Tucker doesn't have a breakout this year to the point where you convinced to bring him back, you're going to go into 2025 with Christian Gray in the boundary, Jaden McKee of the field, Micah Bell in the slot. And then after that, it's either two rising sophomores who are going into their first spring or freshmen. That's where the cornerback position is right now because of some things that have kind of, you know, happened in the partly in the past, and just because certain guys have panned out maybe a little bit better than you thought, and there's been some injuries and things like that, and because they're expanding to a three cornerback room more than they were in the past. So in the past, they were recruiting for a two cornerback room, because if you're only a two cornerback situation, then you've got Jaden and Christian and then Micah Bell as an outside guy. So you have three guys and then the two freshmen and then the incoming guys, right? Well, now that you're expanding to a three cornerback room with Mike Mickens taking over, that spreads it out a little bit. And that's why you're seeing this problem. So that's also why you're seeing the Notre Dame staff focus the way they are in 2025. So the depth is being tested at cornerback, and it's showing itself to be a little bit precarious, to the point where I would actually contend if Chance Tucker doesn't have a breakout spring and prove himself as a guy that you can go win with if his number's called, you may have to consider going to the portal this spring for depth. Not for a starter, not for someone to beat out Benjamin Morrison or somebody to beat out Christian Gray necessarily, but just this guy's a quality football player, and if we need him, we can throw him out there and win, because if Chance doesn't step up, now you're in a situation where you may be having to go to a true freshman that is going to have to help you. Now, maybe Leonard Moore can be that guy. I don't know. We'll have to see. I think he's very talented, but is he ready to play in year one? I don't know. So that's a position to me that there's an evolution happening there, and it's testing the early depth. And we'll find out here very soon if they're able to handle it at the cornerback position. So I would say defensively at certain spots, the safety, corner, to a degree linebacker, until the freshmen fully get here, you're not as deep as theirs you are at other spots on offense. And that's an interesting dynamic, because the talent's very good, but the depth is a little bit shakier now that you've had some departures of some veterans. And you're seeing some of those final seasons of Brian Kelly recruiting woes kind of biting you in the butt, because now you're having to play so many young guys. Now, fortunately, those young guys are very talented, but you're having to play those guys, and it puts them in a little bit of a different situation. So that's part two of today's show, and that is the depth at Notre Dame that's being tested. And again, the final takeaway is that it's being tested. I am, you know, from what I've seen, most of it is just typical spring practice, kind of bumps and bruises, nothing major. So that's encouraging. It's not like, uh-oh, this is an epidemic of these major injuries and you have to question the strength conditioning program. You always see this kind of stuff. And a chunk of these guys came in. I mean, the tight end depth issues started that way before Lauren Landau was hired. I mean, Mitchell Evans and Kevin Bauman got hurt before he got here. And so, you know, some of these other guys have had injury history before the new strength coach got here. Now, it's easy to blame the new strength coach, and I know some have. I think it's way too early for that. And I think most of this stuff that I've seen, from what I can tell, is either pre-existing injuries. Riley Leonard's a pre-existing injury. Mitchell Evans, Kevin Bauman, Jaden Thomas, to a degree, is a guy that's had this kind of a track record. You know, Benjamin Morrison's the only one that's kind of like, oh, that's a surprise. You know, that we haven't seen that before. The rest are things that don't really have a lot to do with the current strength coach. But it does kind of show, like, man, you know, this is part of it. This is part of football. Offensively, to see guys step into the spotlight the way that they have and look the way that they have is a very, very positive thing. And so I'm encouraged by that. A quarterback, a running back, a receiver, you're in a position now where you can lose one, two guys, not a quarterback, but one or two guys at different positions. And you're like, dude, we're still pretty good there if you're looking at it from a Notre Dame standpoint. And that's a great, great place to be. So before we get into part three, which is Playmakers Emerging, I want y'all to do me a favor, hit that like button, hit the subscribe button, hit the notification bell, share this podcast, give us a five-star review. And as always, if you've not done so, you are missing out. I promise you, you're missing out. If you're just like, hey, I'm just here for the free content only, that's fine. It is what it is. But I'm telling you, you're missing out on some great stuff by not being on the message board at boards.irishbreakdown.com. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm.